this Kohler guy I'm telling you about. Would you believe it? He makes as much money as me.
Then he must be twice as smart as you.
From the KKFI studios in Midtown, it's time for Khadija and the White Guys.
Good morning. I'm Keith Washburn.
I am Khadija Hardaway. Toot, toot, baby.
All right. We've got two guests with us this morning. Proud to have, and we're going to start off with Mr. Lyons, but later on we're going to have Joy Wheeler. She's sitting right here with us. We have Henry Lyons with us. I want to read a little bit off of, and we'll do an introduction, a full introduction of Ms. Wheeler here in just a moment. But Henry Lyons, I've got this several-page resume. It's unbelievable. If I spent the whole program just, I could spend the whole program just going over the accomplishments of this man. He's been quite successful, in my judgment anyway. And he is a graduate. One thing these two guests have in common, they're both from UMKC. He's a graduate of UMKC with both an undergrad and a master's from that institution. Very successful real estate entrepreneur, been in business with his own firm for over 35 years. And several other wonderful accomplishments. Right now, he's serving as the president of the Olathe branch of the NAACP. This is kind of an interesting little tidbit. He's a life member of the NRA. I think that's worthy of note. We might want to talk about that later. He's had a couple of articles written about him in the Wall Street Journal. He's been on Oprah Winfrey's show as one of a few people from Kansas City in a certain effort there. Forever changed the history of Kansas City, Missouri politics by leading the citizens of Kansas City through an initiative petition process that passed the two-term limit for the mayor and city council. That's a really big deal. Lots more here. The only person in the history of Kansas City to become chairman of the 99% White Citizens Association and the All-African-American Million Man March Local Organizing Committee. So organized the largest food drive in Kansas City history. It just goes on and on. And he is a past board member of KKFI. So,
and can I just add one thing? This man has had the best afro for years. His afro has outlived most people's afro, and it is still looking good, y'all. I'm just going to show y'all this man's afro right quick. He is still working it, y'all.
For those of you that are watching on Facebook.
Good jeans.
Yeah, black don't crack.
He is looking quite young. I don't know if you wish to give your age, but a lot of accomplishments in just a short history, because he's got to be in his 30s, right?
29.
He said 29.
Jack Benny. Now, Jack Benny was 39 all the time. That old comedian Jack Benny used to always say 39, so I'm wrong. I'm 39.
What do you think has been the key to your success?
We could spend a whole program talking about keys to success. In fact, that's one of the things I taught at UMKC as a guest lecture professor out there, is about career and life development. It was a course I gave out there. But trying to narrow it down to this program, I would think a lot of it depends, when you boil it down to, is attitude. Business, life, and everything is sort of like sports. I'll give you an instance. If you believe that what you will succeed at what you do, then that right there to me is 75% or 80% of you getting there. And another point is goal setting. You can't float through life. You have to have goals. I always like to say, and I told the students when I taught at UMKC, if you don't know where you're going, you wind up someplace else. And I think most people spend more time planning a birthday party than they do planning their lives. The third key I would say is you have to know what you want to do in life, and that's probably the hardest of everything. Because there's so many interesting things that you want to do, so many things that you think you would like to do. So finding that one thing that you really have a passion for is somewhat difficult. But if you do, you'll be a happier person. You won't be getting up to go to work every day. You'll be getting up to have fun. Like I imagine you all have fun on this radio station. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a passion. That's a passion.
So how did your passion get started in real estate? I mean, because I understand you were a real estate guru.
Well, let's put it like this. I'm like everybody else. I didn't know what exactly I wanted to do. And I was sitting down at City Hall. I went to work after graduate school as a budget analyst at the City of Kansas City, Missouri. And a dispute arose between me getting promotion and another person getting promotion. And I had to jump through some hoops, so we both got the promotion. But I said, this is ridiculous. I don't want someone else determining to me how much money I will make. I want to determine how much money I want to make. And I had me just going through the paper, and I saw all these real estate ads and real estate stuff. And I said, I wonder what kind of field that is. So I thought about that and started selling real estate part-time and still working as a regular 8 to 5 job. And after that, I started acquiring property, and the company I was working for wanted me to transfer to Kalamazoo, Michigan. I refused the first transfer. The second transfer came and said, you and our executive management position here, young man, we want to train you and groom you, and you got to decide. So I said, I'll project myself to like maybe I'm 70 years old. Am I broke because I chose real estate and working and don't have anything to lay back on, or would I be successful and happy doing that? And my thought process was I'd rather take the chance, because if I was 70 years old and broke, at least I could say I took the chance.
Did the decision making ever make you leery? Because, you know, being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of decisions you have to make.
No, there again, you have to have a positive mental attitude. I knew, and I always have felt that if I set my goal.
So you're just crazy enough to take a bunch of risks.
It's not crazy, because see, there's a difference between a calculated risk and a risk.
Okay, explain. Because a lot of people would say, you're just crazy. You know, I hear that all the time. You're just crazy for some of the stuff you be doing. But I know it's a calculated risk.
Yeah, it's a calculated risk. And plus, you don't have to, you already know, that's your life. You can do what you want to with it.
Right, right.
So what they say about you doesn't mean anything.
Right, their perception.
Because you know what you're trying to do. You know what your goals are. You know what your personality is. In fact, there was a basketball, famous basketball player that once said that he likes playing basketball so much that he'd do it for free if they would at least give him enough to live off of. He was exaggerating, but that's the compassion he had for the game. So if this is what you have a compassion for, get in there, make it work. And personality-wise and health-wise, you'll be a lot happier too, because I've been in those jobs where you're just waiting on that clock to hit 5 o'clock.
Right, right.
It's not what you want to do. So even and the money will come. It's funny. If you're doing something you really, really like, the money will come because you'll be so good at it. And it's not necessarily based on money. You know, it's based on you being happy. And I'm just saying, if you're doing something you really like, you will have an income for it.
So how does servitude play into being successful? Because you've been the president of the NAACP for a long time, and ain't nobody said, let's get rid of you, all this other crap. So how do you manage both of those, and how important is it to be a servitude person when you're trying to be successful?
Well, in most not-for-profit organizations, there's not a whole lot of people wanting to devote time for something they don't get paid for.
We were talking about the glamour side, that part.
So when they find somebody that they think is doing an okay job, they're going to kind of let you do it. But just as an aside to your question, the oldest living president of an NAACP unit is in Hutchinson, Kansas. And he's been president of that unit for over 40-something years.
Oh, wow.
Mine is like 12. But I'm just saying, you know, in a non-for-profit, a Joy probably knows too, in a non-for-profit, there's not a whole lot of people wanting to do something for free. But there again,
well, I know
there's
too.
A joy. Yeah, you know that. Yeah. There's a joy in it. There's a satisfaction helping people. I think everybody realizes that.
But do you have to do it to be successful? That's a choice, right?
Oh, it's a choice. Yeah, it's a choice. Yeah.
So what are you going to say to, I'd love to hear what you would say to any African-American kid listening. I'm talking about teenager, somebody that's starting to think about where they're going in their life, or talk to their parents about what's it take as an African-American to be successful in today's world in the United States?
Well, as I said before, you still, those lists that I made are colorblind. You have to have a goal, whether you're Asian, African-American, white, or whatever. You have to have a passion for what you're doing. You have to find out what it is you really like. Those are basic. It doesn't matter what race you are. And the positiveness or the concern about an African-American in this day and age, that's something I don't think you think about. In other words, if I go to a bank to borrow money for an apartment, I don't go into the bank thinking, well, this loan officer is white and I'm going to get refused on this loan because I'm black. I don't cloud that negativity with it. If I do get refused, that's okay. I go to the next bank. You can't go through there with this perception of the world's against me. And you can't do that. Barack Obama, if he had felt that way, he wouldn't have won Iowa. He wouldn't have won the white states that he won. But Carson Ross is a perfect example. You ought to have him on your program one of these days too. Carson Ross, the mayor of Blue Springs, Blue Springs is 99.9% white, and he was the state legislator there, the first one, the minority state legislator there. Now he's mayor there, and he doesn't go and talk to groups and say, there's somebody in this audience going to hate me because I'm black.
I think you have evoked a great debate. Okay.
Good.
Because I believe what you're saying. I believe in the God spirit to make things happen. I believe his angels can come to work together, and that next bank you go to, you will get a loan. But most African Americans, we know, cannot get a loan from a bank. Let's just be honest and real. The only loan they can get from is a paycheck paycheck to paycheck loan, and it is astronomical with the interest rates. Let's just keep it real.
I disagree.
You can't.
Because we don't know this. No, because that doesn't apply to everyone. In other words, you're saying every African American in this town cannot get a loan.
It may not apply to everyone, but the majority of them cannot get a loan to buy a house, to get education, and get a bunch of things.
I disagree, because there's also...
And if they do, the interest rate is going to be skyrocketed, where they're paying three or four times more than what the average American
is. That's not true. Because there also are whites and Hispanics that can't get loans, too. And if they go in there with that kind of attitude, they're defeated.
Because of what? Their credit score?
No. If they go in the attitude, I'm not going to get this loan, they're defeated before they even go into the bank. We have to change. When I say any minority, has to, or even a low-income
white. I would believe that if we began
white.
To change policies that make a difference in the way we apply for loans.
I can't agree with that.
The policy
can't be changed. The policy can't be changed because that policy has to protect the bank.
Are you Democrat or Republican?
I'm independent. I'm not through speaking, so don't ask me another question before I get through with this question. Okay?
You're going to pull out your tough card.
No, I'm just trying to be real here. I can't answer two questions at once. So back to where I said before is, if the listening audience, if you're young African American, Hispanic, or wherever out there, you're listening right now, don't feel like you cannot get a bank loan. And if they do refuse you, then find out why. When I went to a bank to get a loan on a real estate project, I'm not through talking. When I went to the bank to get a real estate loan many, many years ago, and this person refused the loan, and I asked him why, and he told me this, 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 and this. So I fixed this, 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 and this, went to the next bank and got the loan. Years later, 5 years later, I ran into another white banker. And he said, you know such and such years ago that you didn't get that loan from? I said, yeah, I remember that guy. I think he's retired now or something. He said, yeah. He said he didn't want to say it, but at a dinner party one time, he kind of casually mentioned that he wouldn't lend to you basically because he didn't think a black could do that job. And I said, how about that? But you know, he helped me, because if he hadn't told me the holes that were in my statement or the holes in my plan, I would not have fixed them. No, you make your own luck in life. If he hadn't told me the holes and the stuff to fix it, I am reality. I'm telling you a realistic story. This is not a made up story. If he hadn't told me the points to correct, I would not have got that loan, because he told me what to correct. So him not giving me the loan based on race helped me to get the loan from the next white banker. So if you're in this audience listening, don't have a negative attitude. Don't feel that society is preventing you from doing something. You get up every morning with the thought process that I'm going to succeed in life. It regardless of what the thoughts are or what's against me, I'm going to succeed. And with that concept, you may get a couple of bumps in the road, but don't let anybody tell you can't get a loan, anybody tell you can't buy a house, anybody tell you can't buy a car. You can do it, because there's millions and millions of black African Americans throughout this whole nation and the world even that have a house, that have a car, that have this and have that. And if it was impossible, they wouldn't have it.
I didn't say it was impossible. I just said it ain't the easiest job, and most of them don't. But there's a lot of blacks that have houses.
There's a lot of blacks that have houses.
If you want to be a great debater and you want to have rules, you interrupted me. I was quiet after you started talking.
But you interrupted me. Even then you interrupted me.
Okay, one for one, okay?
No, we can go to Joy. No, Joy, what do you have anything to say?
We're not quite ready to go. I'm going to run this show, okay, Mr. Lyons? But we're not quite ready to go.
This is the reason. I love this already. Henry Lyons, I love your attitude. And I got to say this just to the listeners right now, is when I first called him, right away, you like him. That's part of the attitude thing. This man has been so successful.
Disagree with him.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we have the show. But he is so successful because he can talk with anybody, because he can converse. He can, you know, carry on a conversation. You feel the love right away. So, I mean, I don't even know the man very well, but I liked him right away.
I know him very well, and we've carried on plenty of conversations. Maybe why it's easier to do it right now. But anyway, we have people that are listening, and they would love to join in on the conversation. And so if you want to chime in, give us a call here, 816-931-5534. Hey, if you're listening from Facebook, remember, you have to turn your radios on in order to hear the callers. So let's continue, Mr. Lyons.
I thought you was going to Joy.
We are, but we're not quite at 20 after. You're done talking to me? But this is my show, and you can't dictate how we do the show.
I'm repeating what you said.
But you don't want to talk no more?
No, I'm repeating what you said.
No, I didn't say we. You said that.
You never said we're going to Joy.
He said in 20 after. We're going to argue about when we're going to go to Joy or we're
going
to talk.
I'm not arguing, Khadijah.
I want to bring up another fact from his resume here. He is the only African-American to own commercial and residential property west of Troost, Maine, Broadway, and Southwest Trafficway. Only African-American to own and manage rental property in the Art Gallery, Westport areas, and Waldo. So why is he able to do that? Because he's got an attitude that I should be here. I should be owning this property. I should be managing this property.
I don't want to diminish what you've done. I think that's great. But I will have to say what is important for the majority of African-Americans out here. And you're not in the majority, mister.
I think you're a great example for us
to reach toward a majority.
No. I'm not in the majority. If you're going to put it like that, then, based on what you're saying
now. Well, no, I'm not saying
then
that.
Then I'm not in the majority of whites or Hispanic or anybody, if that's the case.
The top is very successful. And I will not be shushed either.
I'm not trying to shush you. I'm just trying to clarify what you said.
The top is really... really lonely.
We can spend another hour. I'd gladly come back and we spend a two-hour show on it. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, we don't have 2 hours. Well, we're on an hour-long show.
Find a way to make it
we do have a caller.
Okay, well, caller, state your name and where you're calling from, and you're on the air.
Hello. My name is Raymond, and I'm calling from Nolan Road and 40 Highway. That's Independence on one side and Kansas City on the other side.
All right. Good morning, Raymond. What's your question or comment for Henry?
What my question is this, to the Mr. Lyons, do you think that black people will ever start charting their destiny through infrastructure like food, agriculturally, and distribution, and clothing, manufacturing, and building our own houses in our own community, transportation.
Oh, yeah, Richard Simmons and a couple of athletes already have a clothing line, is my understanding. So they are doing that. And the Black Farmers, I think a couple of years ago or maybe recently, won a large suit against the federal government, which gave them some capital I forgot exactly what the case was, but they were in the South, and they felt that they were not getting proper prices or something like that. I don't know the details of the case. But there are blacks in the southern states that do have a lot of farming and do a lot of farming. In fact, there's a good example of how you can turn a lemonade into lemonade stand. I was reading about the story of back in before blacks could really own a lot of land, there was land that the white people considered unfarmable. It was near a creek, it had trees, it had rocks in it was just horrible, and nobody wanted it. So this black man actually bought it from a white farmer. Well, he's put the time and effort to clear the land, of the rocks, to clear the land of the trees, and it turned out to be one of the most richest parcels of land, of dirt in the county. So there again, if you see what you have your goal is, you're willing to work and get over any adversity, you can do it. But if he had a thought, well, I don't want to spend the time clearing this land. I don't want to get these rocks out. I don't want to cut these trees. The white people won't sell me the land. If he had done that, his family would not be where they are today. But he took it on himself to do that. So when you got lemons, you make lemonade.
All right. Any follow-up, Raymond?
Hello?
Any follow-up question? Quick follow-up. Just a quick follow-up. We've got another caller on the line. Go ahead, Raymond.
Okay. I believe in being positive-minded toward life in any ways that you can possibly be. But I don't see us having major grocery stores, not even one in the cities that we need to have them, and that means there's a deficit and a need there.
Okay? All right, good point. Let's see what Mr. Lyons has to say about that.
I think Leon's is, I don't know if you consider that a major grocery store, but Leon's has been in the grocery business for many, many years, and he's been successful in life. And there again, we have to realize that people seem to get locked into certain specialties. What I mean by that is certain groups of people seem to cater certain things. And if you're going to go strictly along racial lines, we can do that. But for instance, music and athlete and athletics, it seems to be what blacks are catering to more than they would any other thing. Roofing, things like that, Hispanics seem to cater to more than anything. We can go on down the line of how different groups seem to be categorizing themselves in different areas. But there are those who break out of those categories. There are those who say, like Gates, I'm not going to just have a Gates barbecue on Brooklyn and 31st Street years ago. And when he opened the store on Main, he was quoting a paper saying, my family has finally reached Main Street. He wanted to be on Main Street. And he has a store now in Leawood. He has one in Independence and these other places. He didn't confine himself to one particular location. And you have to have that kind of mindset that I'm not going to let the world turn me around. I'm not going to let the world stop me. I'm going to do it. So with that in mind, anything is possible.
I want to say thank you to Brother Kareem for answering our phones every week, and we do have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and what area town you're calling in from? You're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. All right, let's go over here to this caller. Caller,
topic,
you're on the air.
By the way, I think most of this as far as success.
Okay,
begins
caller,
at home.
If you would start over, we didn't have you on the air. Would you go again, please?
Hello.
Your first name and area town you're calling in from?
Larry, North Kansas City.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Larry. And if you would, start over.
Yeah, I think in terms of success, most of this stuff occurs at home, you know, with your parents. If you're not getting the proper role models and the knowledge to put you on the right track, and particular with education. Now, knowledge is power. So the earlier you begin, the more successful you are. And as your guest says, it begins with attitude. And if you grow up in a negative environment with limited and no role models, then it's going to be very difficult for you to be successful. But it's not impossible. It's an inside job. If you believe in yourself, then you can accomplish many things. But if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. My main point is it begins in the home.
Great point.
Instilling the values and the goals that you want to achieve as an individual.
All right. Thanks for calling in this morning, Larry.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. A lot starts with it. A lot starts with your environment. DNA has a lot to do with everything because, let's face it, it's not a controversial statement. Everybody is not equal. Some people left-handed, some people right-handed. Some people tall, some people like art, some people like other things. You have to find out what your DNA makes you happy. What's your DNA say is what you want to do. And with that, and with, like he said, it does help to have an environment where you are reflects positive things.
What can you tell a person who doesn't have the environment and doesn't have the we're all that you're speaking of, even a ride to the bank? I mean, what do you – no, I'm serious. What do you tell those people?
I know, that's why I'm laughing. I tell those people the same thing that when I was growing up on 22nd and Olive and the 23rd Street gang was around the corner, 23rd and Prospect, the 31st Street gang was on 31st and Prospect, the Vine Street gang was on 20-something in Vine. The 12th Street gang was on 12th in Brooklyn, and we grew up in that environment, and we didn't go to Georgia jail. We didn't end up killing anybody. You have to realize where you're at and say, in fact, those guys really are good for me in the sense that I looked at them and said, that's what I don't want to be. Because my parents, kind of like Richard Pryor talks about his father, you don't come home stealing stuff. You don't come home telling me you got arrested. You don't do that because you got a big whipping coming. In fact, I don't know if he's listening or not, but Keith Brown told me at one time, I don't know if his father, Arnold Brown, owned Sportsman's Barbershop. He told me that growing up, he was more afraid of his father and getting a whipping than he was the gangs out there trying to get him to join. So you can, in there, again, it goes back to what the other gentleman said. You have to have a parents, a relationship, and stuff like that. Everybody doesn't have that. I
but
understand
you,
that.
You realize that, like, a lot of our homes are single parent homes, and they don't have fathers in the home.
So. I know. I was getting onto that.
Okay.
But and some of my friends on that block on 22nd Olive were some single family homes too. But there again, you cannot sit here and not tell people that you're making a mistake or that every mother in the world is great. That ain't the way it is. Okay. We realize there's some mothers out there that are every race, you know, that are bad. And that's regrettable. And you cannot save everybody. I don't believe that you can save everybody. It's just not like that. I'm trying to talk to those people who feel they can make something of themselves, who want to make something, who want to make the sacrifice to make something of themselves. That's the ones I'm addressing to. Some people, you can't save everybody. That's just a fact of life. Same way with war.
Well, I wasn't speaking of saving everybody, but certain people in particular, have a harder time than other people. And we're not speaking of thugs and other people. We're speaking of people who want to be successful.
That they should follow the precepts that I just named and the other caller named about. They should follow what these callers and I are saying. That's what they do. I hope they're listening. I hope they're saying, I should set some goals. I hope somebody's out there saying that. I want to set a goal. And it doesn't have to be a lofty goal. It can be in steps. I want to graduate from high school. What's the next goal? I want to graduate from college, or I want to go to a vocational school. It's in steps and steps and steps. And you set those goals, you make those steps, you will be where you want to be. And it doesn't have to be the richest man in the world. It could be whatever makes you happy, whatever you feel I have accomplished and I feel good about and I like doing.
Amen. Amen.
I think you're a phenomenal wisdom guy. I appreciate you. So moving right around, what you just said was huge for a lot of people that are in the inner city, don't know what to do and how to get out. I just want people to always be real with themselves about when they face the obstacles out here in the world, what they are and what they will do to them in the process. So moving right on.
Yeah, let's introduce our next guest. Joy Wheeler is the CEO of the Bi-State, which is 47 counties Girl Scouts. So it's Kansas and Missouri, I'm saying, and the CEO. So this is as big as it gets in the Girl Scouts right here. We're going to keep Mr. Lyons with us and continue the conversation. Joy, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to have you this morning. And Khadija, you're, of course, you mentor a lot of young ladies and so forth, so this is right up your alley.
I do. I mentor young African-American ladies between the ages of 5 and 25. We teach them how to model. We teach them life survival skills.
By the way, we do have two callers on hold, and I just want to tell our callers, if you would just remain on hold, we just want to do a little intro with Joy here and get her started, and then we'll come to our callers after that.
Which is, leads into the way we kind of met. We met all on the strength of what we can do for young ladies. And I have never been a Girl Scout. I just want to say that. But I am very jealous of that fact. My daughters have been Girl Scouts. I've worked in before and after school programs with Link when Candace Cheatham was over there. And we ran the Girl Scout programs there. And I would have to say, I think they're very enriching to young ladies. But if you would, you just give us an introduction on yourself and the mission of the Girl Scouts.
Sure.
And then we'll get right into it.
Well, thank you very much for asking me to be here today. And the conversation that I just heard is fascinating, but I think a great, great segue to talk about Girl Scouts and what we're doing to develop girls. I left my very long, over 30-year career in healthcare leadership to take this position because I am passionate about advancing women. But during a 12-year period when I worked with women and their children in poverty in a healthcare delivery system, I realized that for women to reach their full potential, we needed to really focus on helping girls develop the potential to be ultimately successful in life. And so many of the issues that you've been talking about, and Mr. Lyons and I have known each other for a long, long time, I think so much of what you've been talking about is what we might be able to change if we develop youth. And so my passion is kids. I raised a son. Now I am focusing fully on girls because I believe that they are this country's future.
Cool. So tell me, how does the Girl Scouts actually help impoverished African-American young ladies?
Well, you know, we don't discriminate in terms of our program. We deliver exactly the same program to all girls. And it's a leadership program. And what we do is help girls, beginning in kindergarten, mm-hmm. when we have our little daisies, and then brownies, and then they advance. It's a progressive girl program. But our leadership program is about developing courage, confidence, and character. And to be a leader, and that may be a leader in your life, mm-hmm. A leader in your community, your church, your career, every successful leader has to know who they are, what they know, what they believe. They have to know how to connect with others, which is the opportunity to influence others, and then how to identify a problem and take action. Girl Scouts, each Girl Scout on average does about 30 hours of community service work a year. We currently have 23,000 girls, and if you do the math, 23,000 girls times 30 hours of community service, there's a tremendous amount of support that is being given to other nonprofit organizations in our communities. But the African American girls, Hispanic girls, Asian girls, etc., we all need this to mm-hmm. become our full potential.
Do you find that they
potential.
Need it more than
yes.
their white counterparts?
Well, I think that one of the things you were talking about is the role model mentor. Mm-hmm. I think that our struggle for girls is getting volunteers. And volunteers, we cannot run this program without volunteers. Volunteers deliver the program. Now, we train them, but in some of our urban areas, it is harder to get volunteers. And so I think that when we do bring in volunteers, sometimes they may be learning skills that they never learned themselves. And so they can become better role models for their girls.
So how would one get in touch with you if they wanted to volunteer? I mean, because often we hear, I've heard people say there's tons of girls programs. However, I have a hard time finding them. I know more male mentoring programs than I do out there for girls. So how would one find you and locate you to be a volunteer to?
Oh, my goodness. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website. And contact us, or I'll give you my phone number, 816-759-3060, and indicate your interest. The leadership program then overshadows all of, or is integrated into, our focus on STEM. So we need to make sure that girls know that science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math is an option for them. We have between kindergarten and fifth grade to influence a girl. And that's true for most kids, period, because then they get to middle school, and we know that there's a lot more influences coming at them. So if we've done that confidence, courage, character building, then hopefully girls will push through some of those pressures that come to them. In middle school, that leads them down a path that's not necessarily in their best interest.
So we know that the president is making a lot of cuts
yeah.
to before and after school programs. How is that going to affect the Girl Scouts, especially in the urban core? Because we know a lot of the before and after school programs are planted right there in the urban core schools.
My opinion is that this is a disastrous trend. And it really began before he came into the presidency in some states. In my mind, the worst thing that can happen to a child is they go home alone. And so our program is focused on capturing girls where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the best opportunity is directly after school. You transition into Girl Scouts, and then by that time, hopefully, an adult is picking you up and taking you home.
So do you think by chance that the Girl Scouts, and we have to take a call after I ask you this question, that the Girl Scouts could transition into being before and after school, or is that just something that may just go away altogether and they may just have to find other sources to be a Girl Scout?
Well, in fact, we are in conversations, actually, about when we can hold Girl Scout troop meetings, mm-hmm. perhaps during the day. I'm willing and ready to be flexible in the morning, during the school day, when they have periods built in for mentoring activities, special coaching, after school, churches. Kadisha, you and I met through the Salvation Army contact.
Right.
And so we go wherever we can, working with the YMCA on how we build more Girl Scout troops there. So we need to track where kids are in safe places that we can deliver this program, because we're also teaching entrepreneurship. Everybody's heard of a Girl Scout cookie.
You know what I'm saying? Those little sweet things.
That's right. But what few people know is that we're teaching five essential skills of running a business. And those girls go after it. We have more than 3 million boxes of cookies that have been sold in this market alone. And this is how girls earn money to do their activities. And we do with Urban Core girls, our African-American girls. They all sell cookies. They all do STEM. They all go to Kansas City Night at the Ballet. This is not exclusive. Same program delivered to all girls.
Cool. We have a caller. State your name and what part of town you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
You are on the air. What's your name, area, town you're calling in from? All right, let's go over here to our other caller. We have another caller on this line. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and area, town you're calling in from?
Hello, Brother Ron McMillan.
Brother Ron, how you doing?
Hey, Ron.
All right, I just want to catch that great pioneer real estate man, Henry Lyons.
How you doing, brother? How you doing, Ron? Me and you fought a lot of battles together.
I wanted the real great ones sitting right there in the house. He's done things over the years that we must recognize for the positivity and the development of properties in our area. So great to hear you, Henry. What are you doing these days? And we must get together because things are coming up, and I really would like your interpretation of what's going on with 1/8 cents sales tax and the development as we end out.
Good question, Ron.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Ron.
Yeah, Ron, okay. Good to hear your voice. And yes, we must get together. There's no doubt about that. You and me and Ajamu. For those of you who don't know, Ajamu West is president of the local chapter of the Black United Front. I forgot what his question was.
At 1/8 cents sales tax. Yeah.
Which was he talking about, the one for the fire stations and things of that? And I assume he's talking about that one.
Mm-hmm. Ron, what do you say to that? Is that what you're talking about?
The 8 cent sales tax was other districts paid money into our district to improve infrastructure.
Okay.
That is a very controversial issue. And I've heard minorities say that they wonder about it. I've heard minorities say that they want it. For this program, because we don't have that much time left, Ron, I'm going to pass on that, answering that question. If they invite me back another time, we can have a long discussion about it. But that's too controversial to get into that kind of discussion right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, our line of what we've ended up here is talking about youth. And I think it's really a common theme that both you and Joy can speak to, which is, what do we tell our youth? What does any parent, white or black, Hispanic, whatever, Asian, what do we tell our youth, and how do we prepare them to be successful? And I love your formula, right? It starts with attitude. Joy, did you have any comment on his three-part formula?
Well, I think it's very consistent with the basis of our leadership program, and it's what it takes to be successful. I hate these spring allergies, excuse me.
I know, right?
That's
caught up.
Me too.
Yeah. So I think, though, for children, youth, you have got to develop that self-esteem. It is the core of everything that drives a child to be successful, and that is to know their value and self-worth. And that's the important role of an adult who is affirming that child. One of the things that I am passionate about is bringing dads, grandfathers, men back into the Girl Scout family. Girls desperately need the affirmation of a loving, caring, supportive male.
Oh, yeah.
And we are growing. You know, Girl Scouts defines themselves as G-I-R-L, girl. Go-getters, innovators, risk-takers, and leaders.
Did you just spell my name, Khadija? Oh, my God.
You know what? And I tell men all the time, you are a G-I-R-L. You're a go-getter, innovator, risk-taker, leader. Henry, you certainly are one. And I need to get you a man enough to be a Girl Scout T-shirt.
There you go.
I'm involved with the Boy Scouts also. So, and
you're a B-O-Y.
Yeah. I think that, and we are trying, when I say involved, when I was growing up in the neighborhood I discussed, we had Boy Scout troops. I understand now society's changed and some of the things the Boy Scouts may want to do, people think probably are not things they want to do. But they do give you that attitude of you can do yourself and you're positive and you're a person. So, yeah, I believe in the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts, and I think both those organizations are good for you. The Boys and Girls Club, I think that's a good thing, too.
You know, it's where kids get positive adult mentoring and support.
And
right?
affirming who they are.
Yeah, in addition to their parents, or as you said earlier, if it's a single-parent home.
In the absence of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have a caller. State your name, what part of town you're calling from. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yeah,
you're on the air. Hi, Maurice.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I want to give a couple, three words. Expectation, preparation, and opportunity. And the young people should be ready to fight for the opportunities to get the things that they deserve. And yeah, it's hard, it's tough, it's not fair, but that's what you get from organizations like the Boys and Girl Scouts. This goes for boys and girls. But the real thing to overcome and to prepare yourself for is what your expectations are. Don't be overwhelmed by them. Don't set your goals too lofty when you're not preparing yourself. So have fun. This is a great show, great conversation. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Godfather. To you.
You know,
thanks for calling in, Maurice.
I raised a Eagle Scout. Knew the value of scouting in my son's life for the things that we've just been talking about. And sometimes when I'm visiting or having meetings, I'm asked, are you advocating Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? And I said, I'm advocating scouting because we are both the only youth-serving organizations that promise to honor God and country and have a law or a credo, whatever you'd call it, of absolute values-based lifestyles and behaviors, and thirdly, require community service. Not an option. We require it. And so I think today's children, more than ever, need an organization that offers that kind of programming and support. And we certainly have to bring dads and grandfathers and men. We have more and more men who are signing up to be volunteers and troop leaders. It is awesome. And men in this community who are supporting what we're doing. We're growing philanthropy for girls because, there again, that is incredibly inequitable. And so it's a focus that I have to take on now and challenge that.
So we have another caller. State your name and what part of town you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Robert, and I'm calling from Midtown.
Hey, Robert.
And I want to go back to something that was discussed a little earlier in the show. I was working at my workstation. I couldn't call in. But Khadija and the guest, Dr. Lyons, were talking about succeeding and giving the tools to succeed. And Dr. Lyons was of this opinion, and Khadija was of this opinion. I think it was truth in what both were saying. But I lean more to what Khadija was saying, because we are not giving the same opportunities as other races and things. And Dr. Lyons is talking about how people could succeed. And let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. We are part of the Sweet 16 tournament being played in Kansas City today. Out of all those players that's going to make billions of dollars for CBS, only a few of them are going to make it into the NBA. So we can always point to a few that slip through the cracks or whatever they succeed, but the majority is what Khadija was saying, don't get that opportunity, excuse me, or don't succeed. And I think that's what we got to look at. No, it's not all, just like not all white are making it or getting the loans and the thing. But we can all point to a few that will make it. But I think Deidre was right on base when she said that the majority. And I think that's something to look at. Yes, we can look at Leon's store, but I can look at other grocery stores that are a lot better, a lot nicer, you know, and things. And someone's going to make it. But when we look at the mass, the majorities, I don't think we're getting that same level playing field.
All right. Let's give.
I'll respond to that. Thank
you, Robert.
I'll respond to that. The key to what, with the way we him and that gentleman, I differ is I don't expect anybody to give me anything. I take what I want.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't expect someone to say, here's $1 million, go play with it. No, I say, I'm going to take that $1 million. And so that's the attitude you have. So basically right there, we had a difference of opinion right there.
You need to have a school of thought because that's powerful.
It is. And that's what I try to instill in young people. Take what you want. Don't because I say to young people sometimes, then when they think about it later on, and maybe somebody else think about it, you had to have great-grandparents. You had to have grandparents. You had to have parents. Before there was welfare, before that was Section 8, how did your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents, how did they make it so that you could be here without Section 8, without welfare? They found a way to do it. So now you
said, wait. You said before? Before Section 8?
Yeah, there was no Section 8 and housing authority in the 20s and 1890s and when all of us got freed in 18. There was no Section 8. There was no welfare. There was no welfare back then. But your parents, else you wouldn't be here. Somebody in your family made it.
Am I understanding that you're saying take the energy that they have, or take the situation they were in?
Just listen. Let me finish my thought. They found a way to make it. That's what I'm trying to say. They found a way to make it. If they could find a way to make it, during those times, and they had to, else you wouldn't be here. And you telling me with all the stuff going on in the world today, all the access you have to computers, and you can go to schools, and you can be all these different things that they help pay for. You're standing on their shoulders, and you can't make it, but they just got out of slavery and they made it. So I don't want to hear you tell me that you can't make it they made it.
So, again, it has to do with attitude, having the attitude that I'm going to succeed. My parents succeeded. My grandparents succeeded. That's what I hear from that.
I mean, if you've seen some of the articles in go to the archives, look at some of those Kansas stores. They used to advertise in the 40s about places to rent. Colored, no. Jobs, certain. They used the word colored, Negro, need not apply. They actually put those words there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But somebody's parents... My parents, my mother was an elevator operator. I don't know what your parents were. They still made it. They still found a way to put food on the table. They still found a way to dress you. May not have been the clothes you wanted, but you got clothes. So don't tell me that you got to sell drugs, you got to go rob a store to feed your little baby. Don't tell me that, because I know there's millions and millions of people in this world and in this country that don't do that.
I mean, I think that's a very good example. However, there are examples of people perishing, too, from the same condition.
Everybody's not going to make it. I told you that before,
I'm just saying. Well, we're talking about the masses, though. We're not talking about...
Well, I am
about,
talking
like,
about the masses. I am talking about...
Speaking of a different...
No, you want the masses to stay down.
No, I don't.
I'm telling the
no,
masses,
I don't.
Lift
I wouldn't be on this show
up.
if I thought I wanted to.
If you're masses, if
you
listen to this program right now...
I agree with lifting yourself up.
Don't let nobody tell you that. Don't have a negative attitude.
It's not negative, it's reality.
Reality is you can lift yourself up.
But
reality
the reality
is you have to do something with your life.
Getting a loan in this country.
That's not true.
Everybody can't do that.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. Everybody does not deserve a loan. No,
everybody doesn't learn.
No, everybody does not deserve a loan. Some people cannot qualify for a loan.
Is where it should be. You got a job. I'm trying not to be in his ear, okay? But if you have a job,
no, you can't get a loan.
A lot of people,
job.
listen, and a credit score. If you meet the criteria and you still can't get a loan because of redlining or where you're from, that's bad.
Yeah, and you overcome it. You overcome it. You embrace it and you overcome it. You don't sit
there
and say,
we shall overcome it in multiple ways.
You don't
sit there and say, give up. But until we change policy,
the
majority won't.
You'll
still be the few.
You change. You don't wait for the policy to change. You change the policy.
If
you're
in this
audience right now, don't be a negative.
I have another question.
Can I weigh in on this?
Yeah,
sure, Joy.
Joy Wheeler.
All right. I need to weigh in on this. You know, what you're talking about is adults. And if we don't change the way we raise kids and bring them to a different level, then we are going to continue to try and figure out how to change adults. So my career was healthcare, but I was totally committed to how do we advance women. And there are so many organizations that send them to all kinds of leadership development programs and training, etc. And it strikes me that it's much easier to develop a child, to have that feeling of self-worth and value, which drives their self-esteem, which makes it possible for them to do all the things we're talking about as adults. But if we don't start focusing on these kids and what's happening to them, children are not born bad. But we have a much better opportunity to succeed if we're developing children than we're trying to change adults.
Well, in developing African-American children, this conversation is needed in the way that by the time most of them turn 21, they're already in credit debt.
Right.
They're already in trouble. They already have strikes against them. So where do they success begin in that conversation of when will you be able to, as a youth, get a loan or get a loan? Or it's more than just
in our entrepreneurship program.
An esteem thing.
Right. So in the entrepreneurship program, which is selling cookies. It's
yummy.
A program.
Toot, baby.
We are selling,
it's
you know,
a good
how to build
model.
A business. But very important element of that is financial literacy. And we have banks and financial institutions that are working with us to teach girls. And there's a very prominent organization here in Kansas City that wants to work with us on this specifically. And we are teaching financial literacy, which is exactly about all of that.
You're
there's
right.
data that says girls don't know how credit cards work and how compounding interest works. And so that's all part of our program for entrepreneurship.
I got
to
say,
if I could chime in here too, it goes back to what I said before, your example about you 18 and for some reason you got bad credit. Well, that goes back to my point. You find out why it's bad, what you have to do to correct it, and that's your goal. I'm going to do what I have to do to correct my credit so that 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I will be able to get a loan. It's a step-by-step process. I've had tenants who we've rented to who have bad credit, but they came to us and said, I want to make sure I pay you on time so I can get a good credit reference. I've got my credit report. I need what I know what I need to do, and you make that your goal. I'm going to clear this up. I'm going to clear that up so I can get credit. That's how you do. That's the step.
Totally agree with you.
That's
but
the step.
We need more education like that in our communities to educate people. We have a couple of callers, and I want you guys to keep it short because we're about out of time. Go ahead.
Caller.
State your name and what part of town you're calling from.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Cynthia Nelson, and I'm in Greytown.
Cynthia, glad to have you.
Yes.
If you would keep it kind of quick this morning, what's your question or comment?
I'm going to keep it short. I'm a high school dropout. I got my GED. I went to college. I did achieve a bachelor's degree from the University of Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a registered nurse. I don't have negativity that we can't do it. We have to have goals, and we have to believe in ourselves. The one thing my mother, she didn't have an education. She has another daughter that's also a registered nurse. I have a sister that has a degree. She is a degree person, and she's an officer in the service. What I want to say is one of my sisters used to live in the projects in Wayne Manor. It can be done. You can do anything that you want to do. You just have to have a positive attitude.
Wow.
Okay?
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. That's a breath of fresh air. Really appreciate it, Cynthia. And we have another caller. You're on the air. What area of town are you calling in? What's your first name?
This is Dorothy calling from Midtown.
Hi, Dorothy.
African-American woman, I want to say if you change your mind, you change your life.
I raised a son. Well, I raised six kids, and I want to say that they're all educated. And my son graduated from Penn State, graduated from Stanford, has worked for Apple for 14 years. Change your mind, change your life. That's all I can say.
Oh, I love it. Change your mind and change
right.
your life.
Right. Power of the mind is everything.
So there's a couple of great callers to end with today. We've got maybe just about 20 seconds to wrap it up. Any final comments from Joy? I want to say I'm a big fan now. As of today, I'm a fan of the Girl Scouts. I'm going to tell you that because this little entrepreneurship program is real. That's getting them started early.
Right. Absolutely. And thank you for that endorsement. I sincerely believe that we are changing lives, changing minds. You know, you can't accomplish anything in life if you don't have a vision and a passion and raise your hand and use your voice. And that's what we've got to teach kids.
Now, thank you, Joy Wheeler, the CEO of the Bi-State Girl Scouts, and also to Henry Lyons. Thank you for coming on this morning, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
It was absolutely a pleasure to see you this morning.
Good to see you again, too.
You are still young.
And I want to mention to the audience out here, we have a steadfast supporter, a person that's a hero to the community here in the room with us. She couldn't talk, but Carol Coe, one of my favorite people, is here with us.
Toot, toot.
Yeah, thanks for
She's
Carol Coe being here.
She's my sidekick for the day, y'all.
Right on. All right. Thank you to Khadija Hardaway. I'm Keith Washburn, and thank you again to Brother Kareem. Here's Stevie to send us out of here this morning. We'll see you next week at 9 o'clock on KKFI, Khadija and the White Guy.